Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
ear.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest to the room, Mr. Nelly.
Hey, what's happening?
What's up, sir?
I'm good. How y'all?
Still good. Getting a lot of money out here, we see.
Oh, man. Surviving. Survival.
He have the IRS looking for him.
Uncle Sam, he can have his. I don't play around him.
You ain't got no choice. Uncle Sam coming to you with the guns out, get down on the floor. I'm taking it whether you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you might well give it to him then. And no sense in arguing with him.
Now, you got a new album coming out.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah. Well, new song, new single.
New single.
The new fix. Single, The Fix.
Explain yeah. The Fix.
Well, The Fix, produced by my man Mustard, featuring Jeremiah. You know, Marvin Gaye sample, but it's cleared.
It's clear. Gotta make sure this time around.
Right, it's all with blurred lines.
You think the IRS some shit? You know what I'm saying? You know?
Is it hard to clear a Marvin Gaye sample?
I don't think it is. I don't know. You know, I share the same publisher as Mustard and things like that. So when I got the track from him, Ron Perry, who's our publisher, he told me it was already clear. So I said, before I do anything to this record. Mm-hmm. You know, let me know that it's all cool and it's all straight.
You need to talk to the Marvin Gaye family.
I got the paperwork.
And they're like, okay, a year later, like, we suing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because they suing for Empire now.
Yeah, they come for everybody, man. So.
They suing homosexuals, too. They don't want them to use the word gay no more.
Word?
No,
yeah. No, don't listen to him.
That's not it. Boy, crazy. My goodness.
So what do you like? What do you like more doing now? You like being in front of the camera, or you still like making music more? Because I mean, you was in the industry when the industry was good,
right?
like really good. Right. Like, is it still fun?
I think making music is still fun. I mean, obviously the business is bullshit half the time, but I mean, you know, doing music ain't. I think I will always do it regardless whether I was making money on it or not. But will it be put out? That's something different. But I think the release is good. You know what I'm saying? Right. To get in and create, I think that's always good.
You're not on Universal no more, right?
No. I fulfilled all that. You know what I mean?
And how long were you on Universal for?
Ever.
Because it was a long. I don't really know Nelly being anywhere else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Forever. So, you know, it was great. You know, it's family. No hard feelings. No nothing. Fulfilled the obligation. We talked about doing that, but I wanted to take time back because the way the game is, it didn't, you know, I want to do what makes sense for me.
So you have 360
deals. Yeah, I feel like this makes more sense for me. I mean, at the situation that you're in with social media, you got your own marketing, you got your own, you know, situation as far as being able to, you know, let people know what you got going on. And I got great outlets as far as television and things like that. So, you know, I'm going to cut down on some overhead and it don't make sense.
I was going to say, are you going to miss some of that label spending a lot of that money that you ain't had to come out your pocket for?
Yeah, but for what, though?
You're going to make
more. Because I was getting charged for, I was getting overcharged. I didn't do it to the Cold Crush, but they was hitting me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Now, doing your show, Nellyville, I'm sure you had to be very cautious about what you put out there. We had Mano up here the other day, and he was saying sometimes it's hard to see those artists that you look up to and really admired on television because you're like, wow, that's what they're like, right. You know, in real life, and they want to create this type of mystique, you know, for you.
Mano said he looked corny on TV sometimes. That's what he said.
He said you look corny.
He didn't say you.
He's just saying sometimes in general, you know, you do a show because he was going to do a show.
Right.
And he was saying it's just difficult because sometimes you see your favorite artist and you're like, damn, that's what they act like.
Right.
So for you, how cautious were you about what you wanted to put out there?
Well, I think for me, the whole basis of our show was to show this side, but it didn't matter. If you knew this side of me, it's not a change. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm raising my kids and... You know, and letting you know that Nelly just don't party every damn night, and this is what goes on, and I'm trying to, you know, bring decent human beings into society. You know what I mean? So that didn't matter. Now, if it was a different type of scenario, let's say, you know, all that love and hip hop or something to that nature, then that's something different. Not that I'm knocking it, because it's been great outlets for certain people. You know what I mean? But. For me, I just wanted to show something that wasn't out there. Single father in hip hop, you know,
dope.
Doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, we get so much negativity and like we not there. You know what I'm saying? And half of the brothers I know that's in hip hop are, you know, they love being a father. You know what I'm saying? They take pride in it. So I thought that should be shown.
That's what I like about it, because you're showing that it's cool to be grown.
Hell
like,
yeah.
I'm raising my kids and raising my nephews and nieces. Because
we got that type of scenario. You know, again, like we always talk about, we the only generation where we share so much with our kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never did this much with my father. Right. Not that, well, because partially he wasn't there. But
it's impossible.
You know what I'm saying? But the other reason we just didn't do that, you know what I'm saying? Like me and my son, you know, we rock the same clothes, same shoes, listen to the same music, watch the same shows. Like, you know, we have the same interests, and that I don't think that happened in any other generations like it's happening with ours.
You let them drive the Bentley, rock the jewelry.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's consequences if you fuck it up, but it's cool. You know, he can get a shot at it.
I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing that we so, I guess, similar. Like, the generations aren't too far apart, you know?
I think it's a good thing because you cut through all the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? You get to the reality of what life is, and you move on, and it's not so much hypocritical.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we went through a lot of our parents, you know, once you got older, you was like, man, y'all used to, you know what I'm saying? Right. And now it's just like, hey, don't, you know, chill, baby. You gonna get fucked up, I'm telling you.
you know what I'm saying?
Like, that's not the move.
Yeah.
You know, other than just get pow. But pow still works. You know, it's all good.
Now, I saw you've been supporting a lot of artists from St. Louis as well. I saw you were out there filming videos. You were working with Tiffany Fox is from St. Louis?
Yeah, Tiffany's from St. Louis.
I didn't realize she was from St. Louis.
New York somewhere.
No, well, you know her. She got a great relationship with Lil' Kim.
Yeah. Right, that's why I thought that, because of her relationship with Lil' Kim.
They got a great relationship with Kim. But yeah, she's definitely, I tell you a funny story. You go look at the Country Grammar video, Tiffany's in it. Yeah, from the very, very beginning.
Wow, that's hilarious. So y'all known each other for a minute.
Yeah. She's been trying to, you know, working her thing for a minute, and it's good for her to finally get her stuff going, and, you know what I'm saying, getting her chance to rock. So she's dope. Mm-hmm.
And then I saw you commenting on BET Uncut because they psyched us all out and told us BET Uncut was coming back. And you're like, man, what is this? But I'm sure you knew all along they wasn't bringing it back, being your relationship with BET, that they were punking us.
Yeah. Did you watch?
No, because I figured I'm on World Star every day. I'm like, what could BET Uncut show me?
That won't work
in this day and age.
Nah.
I don't think.
I thought it was a good prank, though, to bring Punk back. I thought it was a good stunt for Punk.
You know what? And if you look at Uncut now, it's harmless now when you look at, you know what I'm saying?
Like, if you go saying, back.
You're on World Star now, you look at that on there, that's straight porn.
We watching girls getting peed on.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, we got a click. Credit card to somebody.
Right.
Heart attack. Swipe one credit card and heart attack.
But it's interesting because when we had Uncle Luke up here, he was talking about, you know, himself back then and how they wouldn't even let his record be in stores.
Right.
People were getting arrested just for selling his
record. Because they had a thong on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Or just the content, they said. The content was explicit.
Changes.
Times change. Sometimes you got to be the person that's out there on the cross.
Yes.
Do you still have the clothing lines?
I still have my percentages.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you move on and get other things going on. So I'm definitely working on new apparel and everything like that. So, you know, again, man, you know, life has been good for me. I can't complain. You're talking about 16 years later. You know, if you could be 16 years in anything, you know, that's what you want to do, man. So.
Got a piece of the Hornets?
Yeah, man, we still out there. I thought you were going to come to the game. What happened?
I am going to come. As soon as I get some time and just fly down there. And somebody give me some free tickets.
Come on, you got it. We got you. You know what I'm saying? Come on up.
Now, they say you're doing a country album. Is that any truth?
No. I think that got, you know, I don't know where the hell that got misconstrued at. But, you know, don't get it twisted. You know, I'm very, very, very much a fan of all music. Country music, no doubt. And, you know, I'm not like the only hip-hop artist to be able to get number one hits on pop, country, hip-hop, R&B, rhythmic, and all them, you know, damn near everything across the board. So people have appreciated things that I've done. I would never say I'm doing a country album. I have a fine respect for country music. But what I do want to do is do maybe EP or an album that transcends all formats, that's able to be played on all formats that go across the board, and including country, including, you know, including hip-hop, including everything. So you know, it may feature some country artists, some things of that nature, but it's not a country album, no way, shape, or form.
Somebody asked me if you should do one, and I said, why not? I said, hip-hop fans are so fickle.
Well,
you know what I mean? Why not do a country
because
album?
I think then the country fans get kind of twisted. You see what I'm saying? I think when you try to force feed a audience that is true to their heart, I mean, sometimes that don't always go the way that you want to do it. That's like Garth Brooks jumping off. I'm about to do a rap album because he has success. I mean, Tim McGraw has success. We had success. Now he think he going to do R&B or some shit. You know what I'm saying? And you like, okay.
So they wouldn't embrace you. They'd be calling you a perpetrator. Like, oh, you frontin'. You don't
yeah,
you, no real
well,
country.
Yeah, I think when you're trying to come for them like that, but I think if you let them gravitate to the music and you let the music speak for themselves, then everybody's voice counts. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Now, we were up here, we saw the stories of you getting arrested and then the charges getting dropped.
Yeah.
You know, for you having meth on the bus or something like that. How do you go home and explain that to the kids, though? Like, you know, it wasn't...
Now, who had meth on the bus?
Let me tell you something, man.
Brother, well,
Let me tell you something. There's no way, shape, and hell I have meth on my bus.
I didn't think so either. Everybody
that's first, wants first and foremost.
They wanted me to give you donkey today. I'm like, nah, that's, Nelly too diesel
on,
to
man.
Be doing meth. Listen, there's no way Nelly on no meth.
Listen, man. We had a party. It was after a show, and, you know, the responsibility on my factor that I step up is, like I try to tell my kids, I effed up because I'm responsible for that bus.
Right.
That's my bus. That bus is in my name. Therefore, if anything happens, guess who they, the name falls. You know what I mean? So, in that situation, it's my bus. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But once we went and everything was out, then there was no way that they could do that. I get my guns back. Everything, you know, I don't have illegal guns. Oh, he's riding around with illegal guns. No, I have a gun permit. Mm-hmm. I have a license that say I can carry and conceal in 33 states.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not running around here like a felony with drugs and guns. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? My guns are strictly for defense. Mm-hmm.
I'm going down, baby. Street sweeper.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, it was a situation that, you know, I wish I hadn't put myself in, but I did. And again, it's not about... the mistakes that you make is about how you own up to them. And that's what I try to show my kids. Like, yo, we're not perfect, but we can be perfect in our approach and taking responsibility. So
did you scream on your team? Like, mother, cause y'all cannot have meth on the damn bus.
I screamed on them. They're like, yo, ain't none of you going to raise your hand.
No,
you
know what I'm saying? Nobody's claiming that.
So, you know what I'm saying? No, but yeah, you know what I'm saying?
What you say, Ali?
But see, okay, that's really why I'm pissed.
The one, you know, one time by lots of people, it's really somebody bust some meth to the party.
That's really why I got heated. Is because see, this is why I don't, you know. But you know, to each his own, man.
When did you let your guard down that day?
We were having a fun, man. We were having a blast. The show was crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know what? This one time, everybody
Carolina,
come on the bus.
We had like 20,000 people out here. It was bonkers. You know, the police is right outside. I didn't know them. They wasn't on their job.
Do you ever feel the need to prove to people that you still are doing your thing out here? Like, you still selling out shows, you still making money?
No, not to those that don't want me to be doing that. You know, you can't prove anything to people that don't want to see the obvious. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's obvious. It's in your face. With social media, whatever an artist is doing, it's in your face. There's no way you can't not know if you don't want to know. If you don't want to see something, then you don't have to see it. But there's no way you can't see it. I just think, you know, it just is what it is. My fans, they see it. They support it. And the other motherfuckers, I mean, you know, they're going to be there anyway. And nothing I can do about it.
Because I don't feel like it's people showing people how to have longevity.
I don't think this generation is built for longevity.
Nope.
They're not built for it as a fan. They're not built for it as an artist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everything is the now. It's the burnout. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's the go hard now. And then it's the same way on the other end as a fan. Go hard. You know what I'm saying? Turn up.
Right.
Turn up. Eventually, you had to turn down. You know what I'm saying? So that turn down, a motherfucker.
Now, how is it for your kids now being celebrities, being on TV, everybody knowing who they are and everything?
Yeah. That's different for them. That's the scary part of any parent. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the shit I can't control, how people approach them, how they approach the situation and things like that. But they good kids, man. They make me look good. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted. I'm not without a support group. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? My kid's mother, she's very much in their lives. It's a team effort. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's married, so, you know, me and her husband are great friends. That's my guy.
There you go.
My guy. You know, something happens, I'm calling, hey, what's she do? You know what I'm saying? Don't leave us.
Don't leave us.
You know?
Have you and Floyd Mayweather ever worked out your differences? Or you just
I never have a problem with Floyd. I never have had a problem.
You started the whole he can't read thing.
No.
Charlamagne,
I'm going to tell you why. Nelly was on First Take, and Nelly alluded to the fact he only had a 6th grade education, and I was like, what is he talking about? And then 50 was like, he can't read. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here?
And then you played the tapes.
Yes, I did.
And he apologized for that.
I didn't apologize to him. I just
you
felt
apologize.
Bad.
You apologize.
I felt bad.
It was wrong.
I did feel bad. You know what I'm saying? Not that I felt bad because it's Mayweather. He's a villain. You can't feel bad for the bad guy.
Listen.
I just felt bad. It felt low.
But I never have a problem with. I never have a problem with him. You know what I mean? Like he has problems. Problems.
Yeah.
In general, you're saying.
You know what I mean? But man, you know, I think he's a great boxer.
Mm-hmm. You still watch his fights?
How could you? He's the only guy boxing. What else? Who else you gonna watch? You know what I mean?
There's some good boxers out there now. Yeah. Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, Canelo Triple G. Alvarez, Triple G. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to see Triple G do something.
All right. Now, you also have Chantel up here with you. Now, if you guys, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you are, but if y'all got married, would you do that on TV?
I don't think that's look as I look over.
He looks over. You gotta get permission. No, No.
Can Miss Jackson change her last name?
BET came with an Emma better, and they're gonna pay for
and they're paying for the wedding. Come on.
You have to think about it.
I'm trying to say no. You know
baby,
what I mean?
Gotta get this money back.
You know what I mean? Nah, I don't think so. Well, you know what? Again, no. Nah, this just that. I think as a man, you know, because being married is something more, it's a female thing. You know what I'm saying? As a kid, we never think about getting married.
We don't give
a shit. We want to be a superhero or a trash man or a police officer when you're like nine.
That's
basketball
too extreme. You know
a superhero or a trash man.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, when you're nine and you see a trash man hanging off the truck, you're like, damn, that looked like a great job. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
like,
nah.
You know, nah. I don't know. Hey, I thought it was a dope job in my neighborhood. Like, look at him, man. He get to hang on the back of a truck all day.
That sounds dope. So
and
appealing.
And he gets paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, little girls, you know, they dream about their wedding since they're little. But, you know, we don't give a shit. I think we do it because of her.
Damn,
no, but
sheesh,
I do.
That's harsh.
I think we do it for her.
It is, for
it's us saying, yo, this is your day. Come on, guy. We don't get no song.
Nope. Nothing.
Nobody stands up when we come out.
Nope.
We get point where to go. We don't even pick the colors our homeboys wear.
You damn right.
They pick the outfits for our cats. Finally, yo, you're wearing green fuchsia.
Yep.
I'm sure you can be as involved as you want to be.
No.
Okay.
The husband's job is to show up.
Yeah, that's it.
And pay for it.
And wait an hour after you already get dressed for her to get ready.
That's right. I'm not going to lie. Charlamagne didn't take his wedding as seriously as I thought. He invited me and Envy the week before. And it was
I treated it like a party.
Yeah.
I got a party.
I couldn't even go. It wasn't even here.
Yeah. He has a flyer, yo.
He handed me a little flyer.
You had a flyer for your
wedding?
I had
no flyer. It was an invitation.
You did drops and shit. Yeah, Charlamagne, I'm walking on Saturday. I'm serious. Peace to the godless.
And then I happened to see his wife in the airport while she was going to the wedding. I was going to the Bahamas. I already had a trip planned. And she was like, "You're not coming to the wedding?" I said, "Charlamagne just invited me last week. I already had this." She's like, "Ah, I knew it, man. He wasn't."
Hey, man, don't try to get me involved a week before.
He was hoping it would get canceled.
Postponed.
He's like, "I don't know. It's supposed to rain." So, you know, I'm trying to see.
So how do you like being a part owner of the Hornets, man? Do you kick it with MJ?
Yeah, man, but you know what I'm going to tell them about basketball? I mean, be serious. You know, even if I got a good idea, I'm going to keep it to myself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, at least we're designing uniforms or something.
Yeah. We do that. You know what I'm saying? I help do some things for like what we call the honeybees and things like that for the cheerleaders and the dance squad and stuff like that, especially when we through Apple Bottoms and stuff. But as far as the uniforms, not yet. You know, Mike is an interesting guy. He's a very, very interesting guy. Right. You know, it's like certain people, how do you talk to them? And like, and there, a lot of Mikes, Michael Jackson, how would you talk to him?
Right.
How would you, Michael Jordan, how do you talk to him? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, other than cool, like that's my uncle. Yeah. But as far as telling him about something that he was the epitome of, kind of like, how do you do it? I could never talk to LL about hip-hop, like, you know what I'm saying? About, you know, I could tell him what works for me, but I don't know.
But, I mean, it's a new era, though. You could talk to LL.
Yeah, you might want to get your input from...
You can't tell
LL. I can't tell LL. Exactly, because it's like, yo, you know, without him, I wouldn't be here.
They used to compare y'all.
Yeah, it was a small comparison. Quick, too. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, dog, don't do that. Don't do that. I did have that pleasure of doing that tribute to VH1, the hip-hop. Like, that was one of the highlights of my shit. And I'm going to tell you something, though. He was foul on that, too.
What you
he
mean?
Was foul. Unk was foul. L was foul. Like, you know, we was doing it, and I'm backstage, right? And I'm about ready to go on. I never get nervous. Mm-hmm. Never nervous. Mm-hmm. I got my troop outfit on. I just borrowed the dookie rope from Kwame. He coming back. My dookie rope wasn't big enough. Kwame comes walking through. I say, yo, man, I need that. Mm-hmm. Real quick. I got 15 minutes. I bring it right back. He gives it to me. I'm about ready to go out. L comes in. Yo, make me look good, baby. What? And then I roll out. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that was wrong. That was wrong. He already saw I was trying to zone out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm trying to zone out. I'm trying to get my shit right. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to hit my points. And here he comes with that. I was like, that was real foul, man. But he's unbelievable. He's always been very, very supportive in what I've done and what I've been able to do in my career. And yeah, he's been dope.
Did you buy in the troop?
No. I licensed it.
Okay.
I licensed it. But then the person who I licensed it from, he was nuts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm trying to work that back out because I definitely think there's a market for it right now.
What do you think of the recent rap beef we had between Drake and Meek? Because you was involved with your own rap skirmish with KRS at one point.
That was just a, hey, how you doing? Cool. Bow. With me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but you, I mean, it
this
was,
shit here?
Yeah, but, like, but you threw shots at KRS. That was, like, unheard of.
No.
He threw shots at you, but you responded.
Yeah. I returned, serve.
And everybody's like, Nelly, you ain't supposed to reply back because you're not real hip-hop, whatever that
exactly.
means.
Exactly. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I got kids. How do I wake up and tell my boys? You let a man smack you in the face and you ain't going to say nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Whether I was in the right or the wrong, you know what I'm saying? I just felt like it was a defensive. But the thing about him is I was hurt when he did that. I mean, how do you not love KRS-One? You know, right. This is Love's Gonna Get You.
You're like, what you know did what I mean? Do to you?
Like, yeah, what did I do? You know, this is what dot dot dang.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is especially in the Lou. You know, those songs were so influential in what we do. But we had a chance to talk. We did the what was the self-destruction tool or something like that? We did that. We had a chance to work with that. Had a chance to rock out together in Atlanta, and you know, that whole thing was, you know. I guess he was doing him. But we didn't have that in the social media era. That's
right.
Why
it that's was what totally kills it. Different. Memes kills it.
You know what I'm saying?
It.
Now, that's it's just out of hand. So, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I think it was very, very interesting for about 2 weeks.
It was good.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it was on fire for 2 weeks. And that's what I was saying, too. Like, look how fast that came and went to the peak of it. Now, had that been, like, in the 90s or the 80s, you know, that Tupac and Biggie shit went on for like a year and a half or so, you know, on a whole nother level. But
2 weeks is a long time in nowadays, though.
Now, but
that's because it gets so oversaturated everywhere. You know,
they got
you
a lot
it all
done
over
in
Twitter,
2 weeks.
Yeah. Instagram.
Drake got a lot done.
Yeah, they got a lot done. But I don't think, like, for me, there was like, yo, you know, Meeko. I don't think it's a question of who's over or nothing like that because I don't think it's any fans of Meek that's not going to continue to support Meek.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's any the vice versa or the other way. What I do think is that maybe, you know what I'm saying, like, to get to another level of the game, sometimes you know, in businesses say, yo, you would have been a partner by now if you would have learned how to play by the rules.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when you get to a certain level, it's just certain things that you accept. Mm-hmm. And that may be how you make hit records, not how you make hit rap records. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when you're making hit records, I don't know anybody that's been in this game 4 or 5 records deep that had 6, 7, 8 number ones that haven't took references or some type of influence from somewhere else. I mean, now, when you're talking about rap records, that's something different. Because, yeah, of course, you know, you're doing rap records, you're going to do that. But if you're doing hit records, yo, you know, that's a whole nother level.
Have you done that?
Taking references?
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not? I work with producers like Pharrell. You work with JD. You working with producers like that. You know, a lot of times they come in with, those are producers.
Right.
They just ain't giving you beats. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you go in and work with Pharrell. Pharrell's...
Yeah, right.
Pharrell come in.
Whole song done.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no. You gotta do it. You're gonna break the vibe. Mo, you're gonna kill the vibe. You gotta. You just like, okay.
Is that how you dance in the studio when you with Pharrell?
No, that's how he get down.
He come in, he feel the vibe. But
you
there were songs.
Singing it.
There were songs that you could have taken that ended up going to other people too, and that happens all the time.
Nah, okay.
No, that was never my record. I never heard that record.
Okay, the rumor was that they had gave that record to you. You turned it down. And then Flo Rida took it and didn't even change the apple bottom part and just kept it.
Nah, we never heard that record. Mm. Never, ever. But when we did hear it, I thought it was me. I said, damn, I'm jamming.
When did I make that?
But, you know, things work out for us. Crazy.
Now talk to us about St. Louis a little bit. Cause
yeah, it's going down.
When
right.
that incident first happened, I mean, you were in the Ferguson? Spokesperson. You were the third, I think everybody called. I mean, right. everybody was DMing. I think I called you one time. Right. So speak to us about what's going, what it looks like in St.
It's
Louis.
It's a lot of frustration, you know what I'm saying, all over again. And you're dealing with, first of all, you know, St. Louis, we're not multicultural like a New York City or things of that nature. Like, even when you guys have your problems, it's a different type of plan of action, so to speak, because, you know, you're a little bit more organized up here. As opposed to the way things go. You still have frustrations. People still lash out. But in St. Louis, you know, we're very, very still black and white, you know, and we have been for a very long time. Like, I don't know a school up here that's just one way. You know, you go down to St. Louis, it's schools down there that's just black.
Right.
Schools down there that are just white. You know what I mean? And, you know, they still having that type of struggle. So when something like this happens, you know, it's hard to be heard when you're living in situations like Ferguson or you living in the city or North St. Louis and things of that nature. So when things come to a head, you know, you get these type of explosions. What we want to do is try to walk that thin line and say, yo, I understand the frustrations, but you also got to understand, like, yo, to accomplish this, this is what this is going to take. It's going to take us understanding what the problem is, a plan of action. We don't plan. We have no plan.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And with not having no plan, then you just do whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like going into a huddle in the football and nobody knows the play and you go break. And everybody just go to the line and it's like, yo, are we running? Are we passing?
Yeah.
And that's where we at right now. You know what I mean? Like, we have no plan of action. And when you don't have that, people just do whatever. And that's what's going on right now. And it's a lot of frustration. But we're trying to get people to understand. It's like, yo, you know, only way we're going to be able to do this is through education. Only way we're going to be able to do this is recognizing what the problem is and getting the people from those communities to go on to higher education, then come back and run these communities because they know the people. And that's just our plan of, you know, how we plan on fixing it. But it's not an overnight thing, man.
Right.
It's not an overnight thing. My biggest fear is 10 years from now, we still ain't have no plan.
Right.
That's my biggest fear. And that's what makes it nervous right now. It's like, yo, I get it. We yelling, you know what I'm saying? We doing what it is, but I just don't want 10 years from now, we still in the same place.
And it's funny because you said this exact same thing when it first happened with Michael Brown, and everybody jumped down your throat and gave you flack. Yeah. But all you were saying was, we need a plan.
We need a plan.
Because I even feel like even a year later, it seems like, first of all, the way the media portrays it, you would think it's chaotic in the city.
Right, right. It's only like 2-3 blocks, man.
Right, they make
Ferguson
it seem like
is
it's
two,
just
three
in
blocks. Mm-hmm. You know, you look on the news, shit look like Iraq. You
they
can't go nowhere. People scared. You know, you get on a, you go anywhere. It's like, where you going, St. Louis? Oh my God, is it okay? Like, yeah. I mean, that's way over there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not as they make it look on TV at all. You know.
But, have there been any changes in the police department?
In that area, from my understanding, I mean, yeah, small. But again, it's not just the police department. It's all of it. It's the prosecutor. It's the mayor. It's the city council. It's everybody in that situation because that organization is what's running that part of town. Now, you have to get in there and change that organization and get different systems in place though, so where people aren't feeling so harassed and they feel like, yo, this is home as opposed to they being trapped.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be a reflection of the residents too, I would think.
Yeah, definitely has to be. Well, that's anywhere though. When you don't have that, what are you going to get? You know what I'm saying? Same thing like, say, South Africa. You know what I'm saying? You looking at these white folks running all these brothers and what else are you going to get? You know, it gets crazy.
How has Real Husbands of Hollywood changed your situation?
Kevin's a funny guy. Kevin's a real funny guy, you know. Real Husbands of Hollywood. We start back up when, I think, that shit come out? Yeah, this week. But we already filmed it, man. That's what I don't understand. Well, should I say that?
What? You just did.
You just did.
What's it, season four? Three,
four? for.
Do you miss Robin Thicke? He actually saw Charlamagne the other day. Didn't speak to him.
He didn't even speak to him.
He did?
He don't like
him. I don't care.
You know what? That was a situation. You know, we put ourselves in our own situations, mm-hmm. man. You know what I'm saying? That was a, I think that I love Robin as an artist. He's a cool dude. But truth be told, you know, Robin's the reason he's not on Real Husbands of Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? If that's something he wanted to do, he would still be there. Or if he took it as seriously as we did, you know what I'm saying? As we are, he would still be there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But he need it now.
I'm not saying that he won't be there because, yo, he's a great guy. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, that's just the truth.
All right. Got a lot going on.
We appreciate you joining us today.
No, man. Anytime, man. I thought Charlamagne was going to have some bottles.
Nah, I gave all those away, actually. I did. I only got one left. I gave Angela one. I gave all everything.
Look at that.
I re-gifted him. I'm a re-gifter. I appreciate you, Drake. Thank you
for that. And it still has the card on it, Aubrey Graham.
Yep.
He just drew a line through it.
he
re-gifted it.
He actually wrote like four different cards. They all say the same thing. Let's be
friends.
I don't
know that he really wrote that or that
somebody
the person
wrote
that delivered it.
Either way, we appreciate it.
No doubt.
Well, it's the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, man.